Yar Baruch Hashem, in the middle of the month of Tishrei, we are looking ahead to Yom Tov Sukkos, coming off of an elevated Rosh Hashanah, an elevated Yom Kippur. We're looking ahead to Bein Hazmanim to refresh ourselves, and at Bein Hazmanim, hopefully there will be a blend both of refreshing and recharging, and also plenty of learning. And those who have learned Maseches Megillah know that, remember, Moshe Tikkun El Yisrael, the very end, very, very end of Maseches Megillah, a very, very ancient takana of learning Hilchos Chag B'Chag. Not only does the Gemara, beginning of Pesachim, talk about the significance of learning the halachos and ideas and themes of Yontif in advance, Shoshiyon Kol Regel, even more centrally is to learn Hilchos Yomtiv on the Yomtiv itself. That's an even more central idea. That's an even more ancient idea. There's always a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and part of the simcha of a Yomtiv, chetzel Hashem v'chetzel Lachem, part of the simcha of Yomtiv is physical, part of the simcha of Yomtiv is spiritual, part of the spiritual chetzel la Shem is elevated limud Torah. And particularly, other limud Torah could be anything. Elevated limud Torah could be any Masechet and Shas, could be any sefer in the Tanakh. But there's an added kiyum in being osik in inyan yom. So over the course of Yom Tov Sukkos, of course, Yom Tov Sukkos is plenty of chazer and brachas, what we've already done. Of course, Yom Tov Sukkos, you may want to move forward on your personal projects and learn the first parak and learn the last parak of brachas, other personal projects. Learning Mishnayis Bava Kama, Mishnayis Tamura, whatever you're busy with. But you may want to also take on a Inyana Diyoma project. It might be a Mishnayis, it might be Gemara, it might be Chayadam. It might be, say, in the last four blot of the second parak of Sukkah, Chafei to the end, the Sugis of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. I'm going to make that my own. I'm going to conquer that over the course of Yom Tov. You might be tempted by the sugya you're about to start to dig into some of these parts of Maseches Sukkah, some of these parts of Maseches Yumah. So we've already begun the Chavrusin, we're about together now in Shir to dive into a sugya that's at the nexus of Maseches Brachas on the one hand, and the all three Tishrei Maseches on the other hand, Rosh Hashanah and Yumah and Sukkah. And hopefully this will be an invitation, not only is it a key now, Shoshim Chon Regel, called the invitation to dig deeper, to chazer the sugya, to go weiter the sugya. We're not going to complete it today. We're going to complete it as a group after Yom Tov. So you have plenty to work on in the sugya over the course of Yom Tov. And maybe there'll be an invitation once the Maseches Sukkah is open to explore broader vistas in the Maseches as well. So let's take a look. Within the sugya itself, we're going to be at multiple points within Maseches Sukkah, but first, multiple points in Maseches Brachas. And we open with what I mentioned the other day, might be the most bizarre non-metaphorical story in all the Talmud Bavli. Certainly one of the most bizarre stories. Yarei Malka, here we are in the middle of that Manchesta of an Aleph, in the midst of the seventh parak of Brachos. The seventh parak of Brachos, Shol Shachlu, is about Zimun in particular and Birkas Hamazon in general. The Gemara tells a story that goes back to the period of the second day Hamikdash. One of the names is certainly familiar to us. Shimon ben Shetach was from the Zugos, the pairs of Nesiim and Avos Bezdin. In the course of Vayisheni, whose names appear at the beginning of the first parak of Brachos, Yanai Malka Malka Sakrichu Rifta by Deyadav. King Yanai was a Jew. Yanai is a Greek name. I know a Greek fellow whose English name is John, but that's just an anglicization of his Greek name. His Greek name, Yanai. Yanai Malka over here, it was a Jew whose name was Hellenized. He is from the Jewish Chashmonai king. The Jewish kings in the second Beis Hamikdash were the Chashmonai. The early generation of Chashmonai were great tzaddikim. Matisyahu Banav of the great tzaddik and through whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Nes of Chanukah. But the dynasty lasted for a number of generations. As various Gemaras make clear, later generations sadly moved very, very far away from the religious clarity of the founders of the Chashmonai dynasty. Later generations of Chashmonai were very, very far away. Yanai was a Jew, was king of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, but to say that he was not a tzaddik like his ancestors would be a terrible understatement. Yanai Malka Malka Sekri Harifta Vadeada. And Yanai and his wife, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, his wife's name was Shlom Tzion. You may remember her from the beginning of Masachas Sukkah. She was a very, very firm religious woman. Her husband, so Yanai and his queen, they had eaten. It becomes clear, of course, the Gemara together with some other people. Because Yanai had killed out the rabbis, he had massacred hundreds and hundreds of rabbanim. See, he had no one who could recite the benching on his behalf. Religious schizophrenia of the worst sort. He had to bench. He didn't know how he wasn't so learned. Yanai was on Mars. He didn't know the nusach of benching. So he needed the din of benchers. His back when the Tarsh Baal Peh was Boz Baal Peh. So in order to bench, you had to know the benching by heart. If you know the benching by heart, you have someone else. Biyotze was someone else. The problem was he couldn't wrestle up. He's a king. He couldn't wrestle up a rabbi to recite the benching of him because he had massacred all of them. So he was responsible for the murder of countless people, rabbis and many others. But he insisted on benching. Very strange combination of religious sensibilities and lack thereof. And the Rashi tells you, you look at him in the Sefer Kiddushin, you'll hear more about this. He was Mimalchei Beis Chashmonai. He was from the Chashmonai dynasty. Again, he was not from the first generation of the Chashmonai dynasty. He was several generations later when they had been terribly Hellenized, and he was convinced. Someone convinced him that there was a fierce rivalry, political rivalry, between the Purushim, the Rabban on the one hand, and the Stukim on the other, those who deny the validity of the Torah Shavah Peh. One of the ongoing dynamics of the course of the Baal Sheni, this comes up in several Masechtas, comes up in Masechtas Yuma, we spoke about it in Avodah Yom Kippur, that there were times when the Tzedukim had wrested control of the Beis HaMikdash, and they installed their people as Kohen Gadol, and their Kohen Gadolim would practice Avodah Yom Kippur in the Tzeduki way, ignoring the traditions of Torah Shavah Peh, just interpreting the Pesukim.
And they would die every Yom Kippur.
Literally, right? And that's why in advance, the Zikne Kahuna, who were traditional, authentic Maminim, they would try to convince the Kohen Gadol to do things properly. So on and so forth. So some of the Tzedukim convinced Yanai that the Rabbanu were out to get him, the Rabbanu were out to dethrone him, and if he wanted to protect his power, he'd better eliminate them. And eliminate them he did. By the hundreds, he massacred Rabbanu. But he was in a very, very bizarre way sort of religious, and he needed to bench. How's he going to bench? No one was being mostly in benching. Bizarre scenario. And it gets even stranger. He has a feeling that his wife, somehow he thinks that his wife could figure out how to make a rabbi appear. So he says to his wife, I wish someone could provide me a fellow who could venture us. So Amalei, she says to him, swear to me, hubby, that if I make a rabbi appear, you're not going to give him a hard time. Obviously, this relationship was not an ideal husband-wife relationship, but a lot of trust and open communication. Relationships with mass murderers usually are not built on a lot of trust and open communication. So she said, if you swear to me, then I could make some. She says, yeah. He swears. Ishtabalok, he swears to her. Aisise, she brings Shimon ben Sheta. She brings the chief rabbi, Shimon ben Sheta. Ahua, her own brother. Consider the family dynamic for just a moment. this woman was the sister of the chief rabbi and the wife of the king who tried to murder all the rabbanim. She must have had a very, very, very complicated life. Shimon Shetach, suddenly, the Gemara says at one point he had fled to Egypt to escape his murderous brother-in-law. He apparently was running back. He was in Egypt. It would have taken a while to get him back. He wouldn't be back in time for vengeance. He must have been hiding somewhere nearby. She brings him out. She claps, she whistles, she pulls the bell rope, and somehow Shimon Shetach appears. Also, when the day was done, so Yari HaMelech gives Shimon Shetach the Kisi HaKavod, and he sits him in between the king and the queen. And Amalei, and he says to him, dear brother-in-law, how's this coming, Yaakov Vidalov? Let me see how much cover I'm giving you. Shimon Shetach looks at him and says, I think I was born yesterday. You massacred hundreds of my colleagues. You would have killed me if you could have. You're giving me a lot of cover. Says Amalei, he pushes back. Lot of Akka say, you're not giving me any cover. All right, say he's been worthy. I'm getting covered. The Torah is giving me cover. The Chesiva Pasuk in Mishlei, Sausage on the neck, and Chavzeka Kita Chavkena. If you're engaging with learning, it will raise you up. If you hug the Torah, it will give you cover. Don't give me your stories, Yanai. So then Yanai turns to his mutters to his wife. Chazus by the Kabbal Mars. No, you see, he doesn't respect my authority. It's a real shocker. And then, after this whole fantastic beginning to the story, the Gemara then gets down to the halachic portion, the technical halachic portion of the story. Yahavulei Kassel Baruchim. So they hand, there's Shimon Shetach. Okay, after all this, back talk, Lameister, you're here to bench. New bench first. They hand him a glass of wine. Apparently, Yan HaMelech was a big machmir. They wouldn't bench without a kos. Only Ber Bracha a kos. Big machmir, mahadrin. So they give Shimon Shetach a kos. See, he says, Hey, Chiyadrach, how am I supposed to make a bracha? Baruch Shalcha, Yan HaMelech, Mishlo. I can't say Baruch Shalcha, Mishlo. I didn't eat anything. Or Baruch Shalcha, Yan HaMelech, Mishlo. I'm going to bench if I didn't eat. I'm going to bench you if I didn't eat. How does that work? So Shasta, they hand him a kos, a new bench. He takes the cup, he just drinks it. Which must have felt like another slap back. And then Yahavulei Kos Acharina, they give another kos, second, now they drink. So now they give a second kos, and now he can bench. He had participated in their meal by drinking a glass of wine, so now he felt like he was eligible. Having drunk a cup of wine with them, he was eligible to now bench on their back. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Reid Rechiva Abba, Rabbi Abba, who was the son of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, this Rabbi Chiya had obviously presumably named his son for his father. Rabbi Abba was named for the grandfather. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is one of the famous Talmidim of Yochanan. So Rabbi Abba says, based on something he heard from his father, Shimashata da Abba legamei adam. Shimashata, what he did legamei for himself. Rashi explains means only he holds that what he did. We don't hold that what he did was halachically correct. Why? My father, says Rabbi Abba, my father, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, said in the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said that I cannot be motzi you and benchi unless I had a little kazayas of grain, meaning kazayas of bread. I have to have eaten at least a kazayas of bread, otherwise, what happens if I eat a kazayas of bread? I'm going to benchi. I'm mechayev to bench because I have bread. So now I can motzi you in benching. If I'm not mechayev to bench because I didn't eat any bread, how am I being motzi you in benching if I myself am not mechayev benching? Ad kan the gemara. What does Gemara get you thinking about? So one thing that should strike you,
What makes you hard me up there for
benching? Yeah. So this is an interesting machlokas in Ben Shetach and Rabbi Yochanan. It's interesting they have like machlokas of Tana and Amora. Fascinating. Rabbi Abba just attacked, said, we don't hold like a very, very ancient Tana. Most usually when we learn Tanaim, it's from the Dar of Reb Lezer Bishua and on. So it's Bishua, Reb Akiva, Talmid Reb Akiva, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Yosi, or Shim Gamliel, Reb Yehuda Hanasi. But going back to several generations earlier, Shim Ben Shetach. And Reb Abba says, we don't hold Shim Ben Shetach. Why? Because Yavor Reb Yochan disagree. Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. It usually goes the other way around. You say, Shiyutan Reb Yochan, he's against Shim Ben Shetach. Fascinating. Seems like a something almost backwards, something inverted about the Shach Vatar here. Shouldn't Rabbi Yochanan need like a Tana to support him? Is there a Tana who supports Rabbi Yochanan? Which Tana? Rabbi Yochanan arguing Shem Meshetach? Who is this? Where did Rabbi Yochanan Damora come off arguing? Rabbi Abba! He says, oh, Hashem Shetach Shver is against my father's Rebbe. Your father's Rebbe is Shver, he's against Hashem Shetach. Yeah? Is there a Tana who supports Rebbe Yochanan? What do you say?
Two things. Number one, isn't there a general thing that the Gemara will do sometimes where it says we don't make halacha based on a story?
No. Sure.
Okay, but couldn't you say that here perhaps he did something different just because he was trying not die?
Right. It's intriguing. Yeah, certainly right. It's intriguing. This is clearly not a typical situation. The stakes could not have been higher. And you get that impression also from even the Gemara decided to give us a lot of background here. A background, number one, that it's Yanai who is asking for the benching, and that it's, and that even after Shem HaShatah showed up, under protection of the Shavua that Shlomo Tzion HaMalka had extracted from Yanai, there's still this like back and forth, this brinkmanship. Right. So you might say, look, Shem HaShatah might not have been sure how far he could push it. Even taking a cup of wine and drinking, it was already, it could have been interpreted as a real chutzpah. It's definitely striking that Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Abba says, we are fasting like Shem HaShatah. One can imagine, maybe what you're suggesting, one can imagine that when we say legamehu da'avin, it just means he needed to do that in that one context, because to do anything more would be something like Vashas. Rashi, you could die, over the next couple of days, you can look around, we showed him on Daf Mem Ches here, and see, does anyone say that? Rashi does not. Rashi says, legamehu da'avad ein adam modelo. Legamehu literally means la'atzmo. Garma literally means etzem. Garma is a bone, and both are also used in the same idiom. Le'atzmo means not just to your bone, but to yourself. So we in Aramaic, le'garma means for himself. He did it for himself. So what does for himself mean? To your situation, for himself means in this one context, he had to cause. The Rashi says ein adam modelo. No one agrees to this. Rashi makes it sound like means machlokas. Yeah, that's Shem HaShetach shita, but we don't hold Shem HaShetach, which makes you wonder. Well, why not? So the answer is there is a very strong source in Tanaim that is the basis for the Amor Rabbi Yochanan. That's very strong source in Tanaim. The strongest source of Tanaim, of course, is a Mishnah. There are Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan is based on that you may have not seen inside yet. You certainly saw a reference. The Mishnah at the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chaf, Tes, Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, talking about the beginning of the Mishnah is actually Agarata, which is a rarity in Mishnah outside of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah has Kashas and Teirutzim, the Mishnah Darshan's Psukim. All three of those aspects are very rare outside of Pirkei Avos. Then at the end, the Mishnah switches chavtes and ral halacha. Chere shofar v'katan emotzis ravidei chavasim. The last two parak of Rosh Hashanah are about shofar. The Mishnah says if I have a 11-year-old bassoon player, an 11-year-old French horn player, an 11-year-old trumpet player, the kid's been a clarinetist. He's been playing brass or woodwinds for years. He's fantastic, a fantastic musician. Or I have someone who qual an adult who unfortunately is so limited that he qualifies as a cheresh or a shofta, but he's a very competent musician. He is the best shofar blower in town. Fantastic. Sounds amazing. The Mishnah says, I'm really sorry, but you cannot be yotzei by listening to the shofar, even though it's technically very proficient, but you can't cheresh or tevakotin imotzi Yisra'am dechavasim. Any of those three people cannot be motzi anyone else with their tkiya shofar. Why? The Mishnah does something else that doesn't usually do. After giving you a case, it gives you the abstract principle. The generalization is, yeah, klal, kol shein v'choyi v'davar, eino motzi rav v'dei chavasim. This is an example of a general yisod, that when it comes to shomea ka'ona, you're going to be motzi, you Yosef are listening to me, I'm going to be yotzei by listening to you. That only works if the one who the mashmia is chayiv. If the mashmia, the one who's making the sound, who's blowing the shofar, or who is saying kiddush or what have you, is not chayiv in the mitzvah, someone who's potter cannot be motzi someone who is chayiv. Kol she'ein mechuyev b'davar, eino motzi es harabim yedei chovasa. That is a mishnah Rosh Hashanah. Even if you didn't yet see it in Rosh Hashanah, you saw it and can see it right now, quoted by the Gemara. On Chaf on the Beis. V'chol she'ena mechuyibet davar, ena motzis rav midei chovasan. The Gemara quotes that. That's the Gemara on Chaf on the Beis in Brachas. It's quoting a Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah. Daf Chav Tes. I'm not. Mishnah, the end of the third part of Rosh Hashanah. Ah. So, how does Rabbi Yochanan come off to disagree with Shem HaShatak? The answer is, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you have to mechuyibet davar in order to motzi others. Okay, I understand well what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. If I didn't eat bread, how can I bench you? I happen to know benching by heart. And you don't. You just had a sandwich. You just had a slice of pizza. So obviously, after a slice of pizza, you got benched. You just had a wrap. You just had a panini, whatever it is. So you have to bench. But you have to bench, and I know benching. So can I bench in your bath? But I didn't eat any bread. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Shem Meshetta, apparently, said, yes. As long as you have a glass of wine, you can go see other people. If you're going to say, what do you mean? A glass of wine, you're not going to have to bench. I can't be motzi unless I'm going to have to bench. Just like a katan cannot blow a shofar for a gadol, someone who did not eat bread cannot bench on behalf of someone who did eat bread. No. Okay. So now we begin to understand Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara here in Brachas Dafur Kes didn't directly access that Mishnah, but once I have that Mishnah in mind, so then I begin to understand how the Gemara said, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't pass my Shem. Shem HaShatach, that's his Shita, but that's not our Shita. As a matter of fact, you could even flip the question around and say, how does Shem HaShatach, the Mishnah? What did Shem HaShatach think? Why did he think that he could bench having drunk just a cup of wine? That's problem number one. Maybe he disagreed. He wasn't Tana. Okay, maybe he didn't hold the Mishnah. Okay. He lived long before the time of the Mishnah. Maybe it was a Machlok Zeh Tanon, but there's such a rule in that. The Mishnah presents it as Tam Mishnah. Zeh HaKlal. But back in the earlier generation, talking about like this, Rishin Meshachah didn't hold it. That's sort of problem number one. Sort of how this Gemara and Rishin Meshachah in particular, how Rishin Meshachah fit with the usual rule? What are they arguing about? That's really the question. What there is a machlokas here, whether I can bench for you if I just had a glass of wine, or I can only bench for you if I had a kazayas of bread. What's the issue? I understand Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan saying a new kazayas of bread is based on the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. And how or why does Shem HaShatach disagree? So that's question number one. What's pshat in Shem HaShatach? What taka? We don't pass like it. What taka did he hold? And again, the Pinchas is saying, look, it could be that he didn't hold anything. He had a Kilchnevish. It wasn't the Shita. Okay, it would be interesting if you found Rishonim who would interpret the Gemara Menachas that way. Ligarme, meaning for his situation. Okay, that would be intriguing. Okay, that would be one solution. But Rashi seems to understand Ligarme means it was his Shita. He would have done this even without any concern of risk or danger from his serial murderer. Of a brother. So that's the one problem. And think about this. Gemara, what's pshat in Shem HaShatach? Again, we began by what's pshat in in the Derchan, how do you give Shem HaShatach? Once you realize the Derchan is based on Mishnah, then in Taka, what is Shem HaShatach? Yeah.
I have a question. How is it that the, could we see how the Mishnah, how the Mishnah is a
raya
for Rabbi Yochanan?
The Mishnah, yeah, sure. The Mishnah, Rasha Dav Chav Tes, quoted in Brachas Dav Chav, and we'll get back to Brachas Dav Chav in a moment. The Mishnah says that one of the rules of Shomea Ka'one, one of the rules of you being Yotzei by listening to me, is that I, the one who's Mashmiya, the one who's making the sound, the one who's speaking or blowing shofar, has to be Mechuyev in the mitzvah. If I'm a Katan, and you're a gadol, I cannot blow shofar for you. Even though it sounds very nice, if I'm not mechuyev, it doesn't work. It's not stam that you're listening to someone saying, you're going to listen to someone say kiddush. So, can you listen to an 11-year-old saying kiddush and be yotzei? The answer is no. Why not? He said all the words. He said it beautifully. That's great. But he's not mechuyev, and you are. So, kol she'en mechuyev v'davar em otzer abdei chavasad. So that's l'chora. Rabbi Yochanan is just giving an application, a specific case, of that general principle. The Mishnah gave one case, the Chayr Shalt of a cotton cannot blow shofar for others, and the other gave another case. And that someone who didn't have any bread cannot bench and be motzi someone who did enter. Okay. So if the first problem with the Gemara is talk about, our first problem with the Gemara evolved into what's Pshat and Shimon Shetach? Does he disagree with the Mishnah? What does he hold? The second problem is one that Rashi raises, which is one second. Forget about Shem HaShem. How about Arshi? We hold like a Bi'achim. What does a Bi'achim say? No, you can't just drink a cup of wine or eat an apple or something like that, and then benching for someone who had bread. No, says Rabbi Yochanan. What do you have to do? You have to first eat
bread.
How much? Kazayis of bread. And what happens when you eat a kazayis of bread? You're chayav to Torah benching. You're chayav to bench. How chayav are you to bench? Ooh. This is where it gets tricky. Take a look chaf on base. Now take a look chaf on base. Take a look at Chaf Amid Beis. Further down Chaf Amid Beis, the Gemara says that the way Jews bench, we were talking this morning with Sil Sharon about the idea of Avas Hashem, to do something because you care about the other. The Gemara who quotes a drasha of Rav Avira, that might mean a public drasha, they said. He quoted in the name of various rabbeim, Zidna Amar Mishmeid, Rabbi Zidna Mishmeid, Rabbi Asi. Rav Avira apparently was a third generation Amora. Two of Rabbi Yochanan's most prominent Talmidim in Eretz Yisrael were Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi. So Rav Avira apparently was a Talmud of those two. He sometimes said this in the name of Rabbi Ami. Zimnin means sometimes. Some say name Rabbi Asi. What was it? That they described the conversation in Shamayim. That how come we say in the Birkas Kohanim, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show special favor to us. How do we merit special favor? Well, what is it that we do that evokes that? So the Gemara says something fascinating. Just last few lines before the Mishnah, the Ba'am Chafim Bit. Yechilo Esther Panav Yisrael. Rosh Baruch says, how can I not show extra special favor to Klal Yisrael? Shekasav, it's well deserved. Shekasav to them, but Torah, I wrote in the Chumash, V'yachal to the Sabbato, V'yirach to Hashem Elokecha. I said, if you're satisfied, you have to bench. If you're satisfied. V'hei medachtekin al atzman, ad kazayis, ad kabeitza. But Klal Yisrael decided to bench, even if they just have a schnitzel. Is that a kazai? Kazai is not tiny. An olive. An egg. How big is an egg already? All our eggs are enormous. We all eat large, extra large or jumbo. Medium-sized eggs never make it to end users because they're all used in industrial food production. They make medium-sized eggs don't look so nice, so they get made into mandates. Because Isaac Kebetza is not so big. So look at that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the din darais, the chiyuv darais, the benching is v'chalta v'savata ve'achta, but Klal Yisrael volunteer to take upon themselves that we're going to bench Midrabanan, in other words, even if we have merely a Kazayas HaKabetza. We had an achila without a sevia. Now Torah, the chiyuv benching is only v'chalta plus v'savata, Midrabanan is the chiyuv which is v'chalta, just had a kazayas. So Amaisa, what was Rabbi Yochanan prescribing? If I would have been there, I would have insisted, give me a kazayas of bread and then I'll bench for you. How would that help? So then if you have a kazayas of bread, then you're chayv to bench. Rabbanan. Is that any better? I'm chayv to bench Rabbanan, no to you, you're chayv to bench. Min ha-Torah. As a matter of fact, that's exactly the point of the previous Gemara that you spent time on, enough Chachman Beit. But the Gemara said, well, a woman, what was the Gemara Shaila? What Shaila did Ravina ask Rava? On Chachman Beit? Fresh voice? Naiv Nakasha, Shaila. Oh, Givalda, right? Because the Mishnah says on the very top of Chachman Beit, the Mishnah lists mitzvahs that women are not obligated in, one of which is Kriya Shema, which is why this Mishnah is in the third part of Brachos, and then three mitzvahs in which they are obligated: Chayav Mitzvila, Uve Mezuzah, Uve Birkat Hamazon. The Mishnah is they're potter from Kriya Shema, they're potter from Tefillin. Women are not obligated to say Kriya Shema nor to wear Tefillin. They are obligated to daven Shmona Esrei, right? And to have Mezuzah. You have a home or apartment which is exclusively inhabited by women, it is chayiv in mezuzah, and they're obligated in birkas hamazon. So Ravina asks Rava, Mishnah says the chayiv is in birkas hamazon, is that daraisa or drabana? Rashi Tosfos explained, well, why would they not be chayiv? It's not a mitzvah seish hazman grama. You can bench any day or of the year, any night of the year. You eat, you have to bench. Not time driven, not calendaric. So Rashi Tosfos explained some of the themes of benching, at least one of the mandated themes of benching is predominantly a masculine theme. Either it's the Nachman Eretz Yisrael or Bris Mila, clearly a masculine theme. Okay, so the Ravina had that Shiloh. The Mishnah says women are chayiv and benching. Is that Din Daraisa? Or Matar their Paturas, but just it's a Din Drabban. Well, my Nafkinina, what did you want to say? You could have said Nafkinina for Safek, but instead we gave a different Nafkinina. What Nafkinina did you want to give? No, it's can a woman know it's a man? And what's the Shaila? Well, if she's chayav, that's me HaTorah, he's chayav me HaTorah, give all of it. So then they're both equally chayav, she ki motzi. But the Gemara said, but I amre is drabanam, but if women are only chayav as the benching of drabanam, have you she'en a mechuyiv with her, then she's not mechuyiv. I mean, she is mechuyiv, but not min HaTorah. The drabanam, she's mechuyavas. But level of deraisa, she is betura. If you're telling me that the entire chiyuv of women in benching is a purely a drabanan invention, that means that min haTorah women are paturos. Maybe they could volunteer, but they're paturos. In which case, as the Gemara says, chol she'en, that means min haTorah she'en ein mechuyiv b'davar. Chol she'en mechuyiv b'davar ein amot shem deicha vastan. That is that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And here's where the Gemara in the Brachos and Chav quotes that Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. And the problem is, what do we say at Daf Mem Ches? The upshot of Daf Chav, one of the underlying assumptions of the Shakta B'Tayyip, the world we're not knowing Daf Chav are women chayavos and benching and Torah Drabanan. But one of the underlying premises was if you're only mechuyav Drabanan, you cannot be motzi someone who's chayav min ha Torah. Why? Because min ha Torah you're potter and he's chayav. Daf Mem Ches, he said, oh, if I only eat a kazayis of bread, I can motzi you. Presumably, Yana and his cover ate well. They weren't just eating. This is a royal meal. These guys were stuffed to the gills by the time they were done. You're going to bring in Shem Reshatan. Oh, Shem Reshatan eats a kazayis of bread. He came out to them. Why? Kazayis of bread, brachas daf chafam vei. Kazayis of bread is a chiyuv drabanan. Can a chayim rabbani know the chayim rabbani at Torah? No, also on brachas tav chaf mem beis. How does brachas tav mem ches fit with brachas tav chaf? So again, to encapsulate where we've been so far, and then we'll go a little further in the couple minutes that remain. We have an intriguing story on brachas tav mem ches on a lot of levels, historically, personally, psychodynamics, wow. And then don't lose track of the halachic conversation, where he says, Shimon Shetach, he held that if I drink a glass of wine and you had a meal, you wash, I could bench for you. Okay. Maris Amram said, oh, but we wouldn't do that. We would say you have to have a kezias of dagon. But both the shitos in Memches require understanding. Shimon Shetach is striking. He holds that I have no chiyuv to bench, but I could be motzi you in benching. At first we were wondering, how does Rabbi Yochanan disagree? But Rabbi Yochanan is based in the Mishnah. Kol sheim chiyuv v'davei motzi ram v'dei chavasim. Taka, Shem b'shetach, what does he hold? Problem number one, what's problem Shem b'shetach? Problem number two, what's problem us? Why are we better off? If you have a kezias of bread, all of a sudden you solve your problems? Midrabanan your chayiv, but not throw yourself up. Why is that so much more ideal? Are we still in Shem b'shetach? We should have said, in the most rabbin, you can't be most until you are ochel b'sovel. Stam tap, because I said, Dagan, that's enough? Two problems. The solution is going to lie in exploring the sugya of chinuch, which we're going to begin to scratch the surface of over the next few minutes. Because there is a chiyuv of chinuch. What we mean specifically, not only as the Chafetz Chaim, to go from the Chafetz Chaim, is the chiyuv daraisa to educate and inspire one's children such that when they reach godless, when they reach bar bat mitzvah, they'll be equipped and interested, motivated to keep the dinim. That's a din daraisa. So the pasuk says in Parshas Vayera, he adopted Moshe Tzavas Banas Beis Avraham. Avraham Avinu trains his family, his people, with the knowledge and the inspiration, the motivation, to live kefi halacha. That's a chiyuv daraisa. But the Mishnayos tell us in several places, a concept that appears in several Mishnayos, among them, as you saw, Sukkah daf mebeis and Yuma daf pebeis, the Mishnayos say there's a chiyuv drabanan to not just teach and inspire your child so that when he or she becomes bar bat mitzvah, they'll keep halacha then, but chiyuv drabanan to insist that they keep halacha now. Now it also appears brachas daf chaf mebeis. The Gemara says that the chiyuv of a katan to bench is certainly midrabanan. Chinuch katan b'mitzvah is a sense of having them practically keep halacha now as katanim. That's a din drabanan. That's a Mishnah Sukkah talks about that in the context of lulav. And here you have in front of you Mishnah and Yuma talks about the context of fasting of Kippur. Atinokos ein ma'anino sam yama kippurim. Amlechan chinosom t'nesham t'neshasayim. Mishnah says you can't start children on fasting too early. Ein ma'anino sam. A seven-year-old really wants to fast on Kippur, say, I'm sorry, it's premature. Mishnah, you have many decades to fast on Kippur. The seven is too young. But once a kid is shortly before Bar Bat Mitzvah, then you begin to have them fast. And the Gemara unpacks it some more. A year or two before Bar Bat Mitzvah, a child is supposed to fully fast. And a year or two before that, you already begin to fast partially. Kedei, v'shvil shirigilu l'mitzvah, Mishnah says, that they'll be already in the habit of keeping mitzvahs. That's Yuma Pei Beis and Rav that you have in front of you. And Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis also, a very similar discussion about Lulav. The Gemara there actually has a brisa that expands it to many other mitzvahs. Daf Mem Beis. At the very end of the third pack of Sukkah, the very end of Lulav Gazel. A kid who knows how to do nanum is chayiv in lulav. So that adds an additional element of how old is being able to fully fulfill the mitzvah. Not only you can pick up lulav nesrim, but you can do it bishleimusa with nanum, and the brayse expands that by other areas of halacha also. tefillin and Birkas Kohanim and so on and so forth. There's an age for chinuch, and that age is once a child is equipped to fully fulfill the Maaseh Mitzvah. Okay. Tosfos Yeshanim raises an intriguing kasha. You have multiple Mishnayos that talk about this, and many Gemaras, like Brachas Davchav, Sugis and Chagig, and elsewhere, many Mishnayos, many Gemaras that assume that there is a huge Rabbanan for children under Bar Bas Mitzvah to keep mitzvahs. Well, how do you make sense, Tosfos Yeshanim asks, in the margin of Yuma Davchav? He's in Tomar, 8-10 lines into the first Din Lasso. In Tomar Damrin, Bechol Duchta, that which we say all over, most famously, Yivamas Daf Kofidalin, Katan Ochel Nevelos Ein Bezim and Simpon Avrisha. A child under Bar Mitzvah is eating treifa food. He's having boar's head salami. No, Nevela. Treifa rice. Nevela, to be precise. Ein Bezim and Simpon Avrisha. Bezim doesn't have to stop him. Bezim is obligated. In an ideal situation where they have the authority to do this, they're supposed to enforce halacha. And if someone is someone over bar mitzvah is choosing to violate halacha, basically not being ignored and say it's not okay, we will insist, coerce if necessary, shmiras halacha. But if they, under bar mitzvah, here you have an 11-year-old who's eating a ham sandwich, 11-year-old who's eating boar's head salami, not a peep out of the basement. Hashem says, what? Now read the next couple lines very carefully. Hashta chanuchim echanchinan. If we even do chinuch, afushim isurim ribaya, is there any question, kal v'chomer, we want to separate him from an issa? In other words, in the kasha we're assuming, give me another 60 seconds if you will, in the kasha we're assuming that what's more obvious, chinuch on mitzvahs or chinuch on isurim? Certainly at the Mafish Meisir. Two answers are given. We will going forward, but not right now, explore both of them. The second teretz is that of Rabbeinu, probably the Ri of Dampierre. This is the French teretz. And he says, he starts getting to father versus mother. Or sorry, father versus other people. Which is intriguing, and we're going to come back to that. The first teretz is that of Rabbi Eliezer Mitz, the German Talmud, I believe, of Rabbeinu Tam. The German teretz is not to be chayav, it's only the father as opposed to Beis Din, but it's a question of what type of halacha, mitzvahs or averus. Chinuch lo shayach el shiyasa mitzvah, v'lo parusha me'isura. Chinuch is only doing mitzvahs, not that, yeah, to sit in sukkah, to fast, which is a mitzvah, then to wear tefillin, to duchen, you have chinuch on mitzvahs, but not chinuch on isurim like nevela, which is striking because in the kasha we assume it's more obvious. You have to have chinuch on isurim, and all of a sudden he just, Rebbe Mitzvah seems to have nonchalantly flipped it and said, no, there's only chinuch on mitzvahs, which makes you wonder why. That will take us going forward into the world of Abbas Kod Matan Torah. It will take us into the difference between a mitzvah and an iser. It will bring us to a conversation about, can you give a kid a lulav which isn't kosher? And can you give a kid a sukkah which isn't kosher? Which has an interesting nafkamin of the halacha. And then in exploring and the nature of chinuch, and exploring the reed, we're going to come back to think about the nature of chinuch from a different perspective, and that will bring us an appreciation of Chayav Darban, Chayav Darais. I will tie this all up with a neat bow. There is plenty of work on the sugya. We'll continue as a group, Mitzvah Shem, after Yom